Radio.
About to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media and Carl and Linda Bott. 7:05, March the 2nd. We're starting the attack through March. Hey, our phone line's here, 530-605-4567. And you can listen to us on the computer at KCNR1460.com. And you can hop in the chat room with us, and as many do. It's almost like a coffee club in there, but please join in. Don't hesitate. People are friendly in there. And besides, they don't know who you are. Of course, we're joined today by the man behind us, Bad Bob.
And it's a safe place to be. Good morning, Carl.
There you go. You know what? I don't know if anybody watches that show, Spartacus or something. You know, it was like one of those mini specials. And they come walking out, you know, into the arena with their arms up. That's what we were doing today. We walked in.
Did they do the "we who are about to die" salute?
No, we don't go that far. We go "we who are about to
pounding the chest."
"We who are about to probably say silly things" salute you. But here's somebody that never says silly things.
Oh yes,
here she is. Linda.
My isms. Good morning. Welcome to KCNR. Currently 46 degrees on this lovely second day of March. Yeah, that's right. I always like to say, when I was writing my checks yesterday, I was very mindful with the three at the first part of the check.
Yeah, I know. They usually start with three, with several zeros behind them.
I'm still working on the 2011 thing, yes. Okay? You know.
80% chance of showers today with a high of 51. That's what we're looking forward to. And 90% of showers this evening with a low temperature of around 42 degrees. We've got showers and showers Thursday and Friday, and Saturday we're going to be judging the double Dutch cook,
Dutch oven cook-off,
and I'm only hoping that it's not raining that day so that when you come out, you have to come out and try this. Let's see how many of you are really listening right now, and you may be listening in the chat room, but if you want two tickets for free right now, 605-4567 for the boat, sport, and RV show. This is a complimentary pass. And I have two here. So if you would like to go, that's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
And by the way, I knew it was raining this morning. Because the weather dog and I went out this morning, and as I stood out there trying to hide underneath this one,
she was not happy this morning.
Leafless limb of a tree, and she was under the cypress tree, staying dry,
yes,
and just sitting there looking at me in the rain before she finally used the facilities. I knew it was raining then.
I am sorry I got so lost this morning, but I got an email from a girlfriend, attention Walmartians or Walmartians, and have you ever received the wall,
yes,
pictures of Walmart?
Well, it says Walmart, but it's
people shopping at Walmart. I know it could be anywhere,
not, you know,
but happen to get some very interesting. And I got the new round today, and wow, okay.
Hey Tina, you won the tickets.
Tina,
congratulations! They're down here at the station. That's the that's
sorry.
The tough part.
I know, that's just good old pop culture. We got a lot of stuff coming on. Today.
Let's talk about, we've got, besides the fact that we've got Gary Cadd on, and we're going to be talking about the city council meeting, a lot of stuff happening in the city council. We want to talk a little about that, too, before we even start our guest coming in at 7:30. And then we're going to have Phil Smith from KIXE talk a little bit about, you know, what's going on. There was a, it was interesting, I don't know if it was interesting, there was an article in the paper about it. I don't think people realize that he's trying to do with the public broadcasting system around here. But we're going to be able to hear it at 8 o'clock. 8:30, Dennis Patterson. We're going to be talking about solar. It's getting toward the time when the sun's going to start shining, and what can solar do, especially with REU jacking the prices up along with our city council.
Also, I wanted to let you know that there is a wind advisory. It's basically through the Sacramento Valley. That's going to be coming up this way, increasing 20 to 30 miles per hour, especially this morning. Locations include, of course, Stockton, Modesto, Chico, Redding, Sacramento, Grass Valley, Lakeport, Paradise. If you're driving, just be aware of the fact of this wind advisory. And, of course, we also have this also impacts local power outages and also there will be difficult driving conditions, so please be careful. Bob?
Yeah, we were looking at some of the what they call remote weather stations around. They call them ROS stations. And in some of the peaks over towards the coast, they were hitting 85 miles an hour over those passes. So that bears watching if you're traveling.
That's nothing.
Today.
Linda hits about that speed coming down from the house to the station.
Oh, and by the way, before we take a break, what did we hear this morning? The cops are going to be out. They're really going to be enforcing no cell phones. So if you feel like you maybe have slipped through and you're still on your cell phone, because Redding's pretty, we've been lucky because they've been slack about pulling you over if you're on your cell phone. Don't do it.
About time.
It's
yeah.
time.
Okay, so you heard it here first that there's your warning, is that they're going after you, and they are specifically targeting dark cars with tinted windows and 1,200 pounds of marijuana in the back. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
KCNR 1460, and our chat room is open. How are you guys doing this morning? We also have a hotline. The hotline
great.
Here is 605-4567. The chat room, KCNR1460.com, is currently 46 degrees on this beautiful day in the North State. And we are having, of course, it's raining today, and the weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. Tina, congratulations. You won the RV boat and the passes for this weekend. We'll see. Hopefully Saturday. What time does that cooking, the Dutch oven cook thing start? One?
I think it's 12 or 1. Yeah. Just come on down and visit us and watch us stuff our face. You can eat one bite out of, you know, usually what we do is a one bite, because I think they've got 12 to 15 cooks there, and it's three dishes per cook. So that's 45 dishes that we have to rate.
It's really delicious.
Now, this is stuff
great
like,
experience.
You know, you look at it, it immediately fills you up, much less before you taste it. So the secret is you take like one bite, you sniff it, you look at it. That. Now, here's the secret also for getting a higher score from us. If you're listening, okay, this is why I stomp my foot, and if you're going to be one of the people that's competing, listen to this. Do not put your fingers in the food in front of us.
It's not even funny. But no.
Don't even put your finger, no. Don't touch it. Don't lean over it. Don't stick it in to show well consistent.
Yeah, immediately
consistent
eliminate it.
Right then, you've lost 40 points. I don't care if it
thought
floats off.
I was going to lose my cookies last year with that.
Off the table and kisses me on the lips. It loses.
My ick.
Okay.
Okay. Next.
Let's go. And the House passes a bill to avert a government shutdown. The House of Representatives on Tuesday voted to extend government funding for 2 more weeks. And the Democratic-led Senate agreed to vote on the House passed measure. So it looks like we're going to continue. The government probably is getting close to payday for the senators and the representatives. The bill drafted by House Republican leaders passed by a vote of 335-91, which would give Obama and Congress till March 18th to agree on funding levels for the rest of the fiscal year. Well, we'll see. They're trying to cut funds. They're slashing and slashing and slashing. But speaking of rising the cost of gas since the Libyan adventure started, has raised 26% over the last couple of weeks. I believe that since this has started, that 26% rise in gas, that there's no gas under $3 in the U.S. I'm going to have to check on that. That's what I think I saw.
I'm looking it up.
Okay. Now, getting closer to home.
Can I get my computer up here?
You got to get closer to the speaker.
You're a distant voice.
You're a distant voice here. Hey, Jerry Brown, speaking down in Anaheim to hundreds of police chiefs, told the police chiefs that there's going to have to be curbs on their pensions may be needed. As Brown says, I didn't take my retirement at 50. We may need to be working to 72. There was a nervous laughter in the auditorium over this. I don't see 72-year-old policemen running down the street. But
you
then
see
again,
the guy with his walker?
Yeah. Shoot first, walk later. Okay. That's one of the things. The other thing, too, is when you start talking about cost, is the amount of money we pay for hospital prisoners, it's costing millions and millions of dollars. We're guarding prisoners that can't walk. And so what they do is, if there's a prisoner that has to be treated for a medical condition, even if that person's got two broken legs and two broken arms, they still have to put at least two policemen on them. an example of degenerative nerve disease and left a 57-year-old California inmate semi-paralyzed in a private Bay Area hospital for last year. He's got a breathing tube. He's got steel bracelets shackling his ankles. Still, the California taxpayers are shelling out roughly $800,000 a year. Okay, let me say that one more time. $800,000 a year to prevent his escape. The guards watching Ortiz one day last week said department policy requires one corrections officer at the foot of his bed around the clock and another guard at the door. A sergeant also has to be there to supervise. Now, where do you want to believe? What do you want to believe that somewhere near in the union, the unions say they've got to have that for safety? And then you know what? I actually believe that. I believe that you could have people that use a hospital to try to escape that will go for it. And you do need to have guards for them. But let's have some common sense. Where is the common sense here? That we don't, we're having three men that could be used someplace, or three guards that could be used somewhere else, a lot more efficiently, are guarding a man that can't move? Have you thought about maybe calling to the government and saying, what the hell is this? Has anybody thought that?
Who is going to answer the phone?
You know, they're probably on furlough.
They're all watching the guy.
They're all on furlough. Anyway, they've identified 25 permanently medically incapacitated, incapacitated inmates being treated at outside hospitals or candidates for parole because they no longer pose a threat to the public. The Californians were going to pay more than $50 million to treat them this year, between $19 million and $21 million of that for guard salaries, benefits, and overtime. It just kind of takes your breath away, doesn't it, when you think about things that are happening to us, how we get, you know, how we get constantly unkissed but taken advantage of. That you want to take away Operation Welcome Home to those 30,000 veterans coming back every month to the state of California. But we are going to spend $800,000 on one inmate who can't move, being watched by three men. Does anybody else think this is stupid? Does anybody else see the ridiculousness of this? Carlin Lindebot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Ooh, I like that. 7:24 in the morning, 80% chance of showers with a high today of 51. Tonight, you're looking at a low of around 42 with 90% of chance of showers tonight.
The weather dog says it's raining right now.
That's right.
Hey, let's go to breakfast here at Lumberjack's. That's right. Lumberjack's has got breakfast specials Monday through Friday only. Starts at $3.99 with ham and eggs. And we're talking about, I've had the ham and eggs there several times. Big plate of food, great service. Then you have, or you could have chicken fried steak or New York steak, all under $6. What great prices. Local business, local people owning it. You know, you can't beat that. You know, nice rainy day, and it's going to be raining today.
I have some news for Bob.
Okay.
Since Bob has Boomer Tech,
hey,
and
Bob.
I'm sure you know about this, but for those people, we go PC or Mac? PC or Mac? So Apple, which is Macintosh, is expected to reveal its latest iteration of the iPad today.
Mm-hmm. Very much anticipated.
There you go. And since the iPad was on sale in April, it has sold more than 15 million units. I'll tell you something. I get a lot of emails from people who are emailing on their iPad, and instead of iPhone, it'll say sent from my iPad.
Okay, so I realize the iPad is... That's the big part in the future. Right now, we can just carry that with us instead of computers and... It is a computer.
Tablet computing has been... Actually, the concept's been around since the days of the TV show
Star
Trek.
So what makes it better?
I would say portability and the fact that it's all a single unit without a hinge in the middle of it. And they're going to be made tougher, lighter, longer battery life over the next few years. And their form factor depends. You know, your smartphone is what you keep in your pocket. But if you need to do serious work, it has to be big enough for human hands to operate.
But there's some rivals. There's some rivals. Motorola has just introduced the hotly anticipated Zoom. That's X-O-O-M. And other tablets are in the offering from likes of Toshiba, Hewlett-Packard, and RIM, to name a few. So that, you know, cool. It really kind of bums you out when you feel like, you know, I love Macintosh, but if they've got the corner on the market.
Well, you know, I tell you what, you've wanted that, you know, that Big Mac. It's just a, it's just the screen and the computers.
The
and
iMac.
Yeah, yeah, not the Big Mac. It's the iMac. You know, you just got the big. Well, I kind of like the Big Mac too, but you know, Linda says I'd like you to get me that really large Mac. So I brought home two Big Macs, and she said it wasn't the same.
The 27-inch iMac. Yeah,
yeah. Anyway,
well, something that we talk about, you know, how much. Electronics have really, they've integrated so much of our lives, and what would it be like if we didn't have television and everything was off in computers and your life was basically in your computer and we were watching.
God forbid we had to talk to each other.
It's going to it's going to be. And the fact is that you have to look at TV now and say and see and ask, where's it going to be 5 years or 6 years from now?
And how many people over the age of the late boomers, over 65 or whatever that generation is called, 65, 70, how many of those people would really get their information from the computer or watch television or listen to the radio? We were discussing the numbers last night.
Yeah, with some. I mean, they had some. Well, Mark and Trudy had some really good ideas about. I mean, some ideas about things. It was discussing. You know, where electronics are and where the media is with people.
It's an evolution. Right now, computer electronics are about where radio was circa 1920 as far as the new innovations coming in. The genesis of Boomer Tech Radio, I will tell you, came along when we were sitting in a restaurant and I saw a man, had to be 80 if he was a day, working on his iPhone. And that gave me the idea for the show. I said, how cool is this?
He was on his iPhone?
Yeah, he was doing a message on his checking the news and stuff on his iPhone.
I wish I could do that. Okay.
Great.
All right, in our next half hour, we have Gary Cadd. In fact, he's already... Good morning, Gary.
Good morning.
He's already in the studio. He did also walked in.
Anticipating.
Into the Coliseum here, you know, bringing his shield
Yay,
and his sword.
Yep.
Remember, there's only one way of leaving here. You either leave it with your shield or on it.
I'll leave with it.
Okay. we're going to be talking about the city council because some of the things I want to talk about is some people raised the specter of church and state, but about Bethel leasing the convention center. I don't think that's a problem as far as, I mean,
I
they're just another
either.
Company doing that. I realized there was a question at first, well, is that mixing it? And I don't think so. The Constitution doesn't say that. The other things we want to talk about, of course, Costco. And the police department, and I think there was a couple other things too that was being discussed last night.
Yeah, Aaron? Well, there's a meeting coming up tomorrow at 3:00. It's an agenda setting priorities, and it's quite a long list of issues, and we can get into that here when we get.
Yeah, we're just getting ready to take a break here. It's Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. When we come back, we're going to be listening to the news right now. When we come back, Gary Cadd's our guest. We're going to talk about what happened at the city council meeting last night. And then we're going to be talking KIXE, and then we're going to be talking Solar. Carl Lundebot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460. 60, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott, 7:34 in the morning on March the 2nd. 530-605-4567. We're chatting and streaming at kcnr1460.com. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. Yep, Tobacco and Brew, one of our favorite places. Great, great walk-in humidor, and they have cigars on sale there now. They have little bags. They put very nice cigars in for very reasonable prices. And then, of course, Espresso Joe's with any type of coffee you'd like for really good prices, and they fix it so well, and everybody there is so nice to you. That's Tobacco and Brew. Joe and Shelley run a class place. They've been in business now for well over 35 years. Okay, today, at this time, after every city council meeting, Gary Cadd comes in and he talks to us about what happened. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, Carl Linda. Good morning, everybody out there. Well, we had a city council meeting last night, and it was a fairly light agenda. The REU and Mr. Hoosier came forward with a resolution to the city that... About the California Air Resources Board, and the movement that they did for this resolution is going to help the city with our renewable energy. We do have a problem with not being able, at the moment we can count large hydro, which is the Shasta Dam. In the future, the state is wanting to take the large hydro out of the...
Well, I thought we couldn't count, right? I thought Hoosier said we couldn't count hydroelectric.
Well, at the moment, we can, seeing that we're a publicly owned... I mean, we're a community-owned utility.
Uh-huh.
If you were like PG&E, you can't. The real problem for all that is there's a war going on between PG&E and Southern California Edison. Southern California Edison doesn't have a lot of large hydro, and it would give PG&E a step up on them. So we, the little guys in North State, are wind up going to be hurt by their problem. And I think the legislature really needs to effectively take care of that problem.
I'm almost positive Hoosier said we could not count that because it wasn't counted as a renewable resource.
At the moment, we can. But okay. If SB 32... A new bill, right. SB 32, goes through.
Maybe
then
that's
we're going
what
to have
he was referring to. The thing about right. it is that here's the other thing that you're fighting against too. People don't want dams. Dams mean energy. Dams also mean damming up the river. So you have environmental groups that are fighting that. They like to see all the dams or most of the dams pulled. Okay,
right. We start. Yeah, and then moving forward, they had three separate issues, but basically all the same, which they're effectively working on landscape management and forming districts for landscape management in that. Let's see, about six subdivisions around town, and the city is moving forward to ask the folks, the individual property owners, if they would like to go into a district to take care of their subdivision landscape management. So those went through, but that's just going to be up to the people to and then there was no travel by the council members, so there was nothing under that issue. Number 11, which is suggested new items to come up before council. Councilman Bassetti brought up looking into a community in Colorado, Centennial. They have a city charter back there, and they
about
have
privatization.
On privatization, yeah. So and it's mentioned that there's going to be a meeting tomorrow afternoon at 3:00 at City Council Chambers to go over. Priority. This is going to be their priority project setting workshop, and this will be coming up. It's very important to keep in mind now, folks. This is going to be videoed, so you can go to the city website and you'll be able to see the video of what this meeting tomorrow afternoon at 3:00 is going to be. If you have the time, it'd be well worth your time to come in and take a look at what's going on.
Okay, let's go to the phones. John, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. How are you? Linda.
Morning.
Dad, Bob.
We're all here.
You guys really looked good yesterday when I dropped in. Carl, it's obvious you're going back to the gym.
Oh, well, thank you.
And Linda, your hair looked fantastic.
Well, thank you. How sweet.
We're practicing practicing entering into the studio now with a great
too.
Deal of confidence. We put our arms out. We come walking in like Spartacus and gladiators into
there
the studio.
Go,
we got Gary Cadd doing it, but you looking pretty good too there, big guy.
Well, you know what? City Council last night was very interesting, and Gary's account is true and clear on it. I'm going to have to take issue with you, Carl. There is a problem with church and state in regards to Bethel taking over the city-owned convention center.
What's that?
If you give administrative authority to pick and choose shows and events at the city-owned convention center to a religious group, a religious-based organization, it's a recipe for disaster. There is censorship. There is... If this group is going to be true to their faith, there are very many shows they're not going to be able to allow under their faith-based.
Now this is assuming
to show there.
Yeah, now this is assuming, John. We got to take a quick break so we can hang
go
on
ahead.
To you. But this is assuming that the city gives up the right for final say on that. That it's got to be. I would think it would be someplace in the agreement. That they could say, okay, you can lease it, you can have 6 months of this, but 6 months of it goes to other things, like Cool April Nights, or if you want to have, the Rat Pack is back, or those kind of things. I can't imagine that the city would give up the whole convention center to one entity.
Well, I think that's what the lease is calling for.
Hmm.
And, again, I don't have those specific details because, once again, it's not being negotiated or even discussed or even presented to
John
the public.
John, that's one of the things, such as when I talked last night about the closed session item on the contracts that are being worked on. There's things that go on in closed session. Of course, it's closed, so we don't know what's happening. So we really don't have the full information of what they're working on.
I agree, Gary. But the concept of turning over a city-owned event center
to a religious organization.
A faith-based religious organization is truly a recipe for disaster. And, you know, people say that the separation of church and state is not a constitutional issue. It's a Supreme Court issue. It's been ruled on over and over and over again, and it was very clearly stated on multiple occasions by Thomas Jefferson and supported by all of the different Supreme Courts throughout history. And, you know, claiming that this is not a church and state issue is just not true.
I'm not sure about that. But we got to take a break here. And but, you know, it's a good point, John. And it's, I see what you're saying. It's well-intentioned. And the fact is leasing a property have, you know, anything to do with saying is that, okay, that religion is the only one we rent to?
Or is the administrator of the facility? It takes the control of it out of the hands of the city and puts it in the hand of a faith-based organization. I can't agree with it.
All right. Okay. Okay. Gotta take a break. Thanks, John.
Bye.
Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
On your dial this morning, 7:45. It is the second day of March, and we are currently looking at 47 degrees with showers throughout the day, and tonight will be a low of 42. Weather's always brought to you by Ensemble Vineyards, but this portion of the show is brought to you by
BT Satellite. Doug Tooley puts in Dish Satellite, a local guy. He's been in the business since 1985, except when he was taken. Took out a little while to be in the 82nd Airborne. You got to give him a call at 244-1988. He guarantees his work. He does great work. We have him at our house in Dish Satellite. We're real happy with it. That's Doug Tooley, B&T Satellite, 244-1988. Our guest, Gary Cadd, we were talking about what happened to City Council last night. And let's go to the phones. Sharon, thanks for waiting.
Good morning,
Sharon.
Kevin.
You're on.
Well, good morning, everybody. Long time.
I know. Welcome to the show.
Where you been?
Oh, I've been behind the curtain peeking out at everything. First of all, I just want to say, Gary, how much I appreciate you going to these council meetings and getting on air and informing the public. It is such a wonderful service, and you're great at it. And I want to thank Linda and Carl for making it happen. It's just awesome what you guys are giving the community here.
Well, thank you, Sharon.
Now, I also wanted to say, as far as the convention center is concerned, I agree with John that it shouldn't be run by a faith-based organization or Bethel Church. To me, it seems like people involved there would get preferential treatment, and not to mention any profit or money that they're going to put in their pockets. That would make the public basically supporting a religion they may not believe, or people who are running it, you know, it, as faith-based, that they may not believe in, and I just think that's plain wrong.
Well, the thing, Sharon, that, like with you and John, you folks are making your voice heard. Even though it's a closed session item, we the people need to be able to realize we have the right at a city council meeting to get up and make suggestions, encouragement or discouragement on a particular issue, and we need to do that.
So well, and Gary, that's the other thing I wanted to say, is that last night when I was listening to this, you know, I'm not real good at getting up in front of the public at a city council meeting. It's new to me. I'm really out of my comfort zone, which I imagine most speakers are. But I agree, we have to start getting vocal. So you know this. If I attend the city council meeting, say tomorrow or any other time, but even tomorrow, then what can we say? What can we talk about? When do we do it? I mean, can you have any words of encouragement for the people out there
to
help us get on that dais and go ahead and speak our mind?
Well, of course I can. You know, the point with it is, I don't know that I'm all that great a speaker when I get up before council. And the thing with it is, when you get up before council, I try to do a couple of things. One is to be civil to them, talk to them like I have somebody talk to me. And I try to do that, but talk from your heart, and everybody can get up and talk. Those people sitting across from you over there on the council are the same as we are. They're no great higher people than we are. They're at the same level in life and the same humanity as you and I are, and we can get up and speak from the heart and speak the issues that you want to talk about.
Okay. It sounds so easy the way you put it, but I know when it comes time to get up and talk, it's like, well, am I out of turn? Am I going to make an idiot of myself?
Well, maybe we should have chat rooms so you could chat with the city council, because we get a lot of good comments that way.
Well, that's an interesting idea. Anyway, that's all I had to say, and it's good talking to you guys again. And
well, thanks, and welcome back home there, Sharon.
You've been a great activist. Don't ever stop being an activist, Sharon.
I'm sorry?
Don't ever stop being an activist. Your voice is very important.
I appreciate that very much. Anyway, I've been listening to you guys every day, and, you know, your show, your station has come along so far. I just couldn't be more proud. I'm just thrilled with you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sharon. Thank you for the kind. Okay, let's go to Brian. Brian, good morning. Hello, Brian.
Yeah, hey.
You're on.
Hey, you know, I'm a very religious person, and I agree, though, that it needs to be... it needs to be subleased out to, you know, multiple different groups so it can be used from, as a community center, so community-based. That means that they need to lease it out to several different organizations. And I can name one that would be great. I mean, there's several of them in town that I think would benefit from this, but I think the religious aspect is a good key component, but I don't think it should be the majority of it.
Yeah. Well, I think that if you could get a number of different organizations, then, you know, to put money into it, you know, the bottom line is, I see what Sharon is saying probably a little bit clearer than John on what John is saying, because what she's saying is this could be a financial impact, because some people may say is that they, you know, they're not allowed to do things, or it may push people away as opposed to bringing people in, and that, you know, that's significant too.
Well, and that's where the word community comes in. I mean, it needs to be a diverse group utilizing it again. So that way we get diversity. And
yes,
it could be someone that they could lease it out to temporarily from somebody down south or something that wants to do something really cool up here. I mean, it doesn't have to be just local.
That's
we
true.
We could use some local talent coming here. Hey, lease it out for a week. And you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, you're absolutely right. Hey, Brian, thanks.
I think we need to really broaden our horizons here and not get in too much of a hurry to get that thing leased out.
Well, you know, that's, you know, these are all good points. Maybe we ought to go out there and say, hey, we've got a place here you can have your you know, your conventions, what it's supposed to be. And
that's where it used
out
to be.
For people, yeah. So, okay, Brian, great.
Thank you.
Great phone call. We've got to take a break here. And we've got Ron. We're going to have to hang on to YouTube right after we come back from the break. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
Hey, we're on a roll here. We've been talking about the convention center and topics that were covered last night in City Hall. Our guest is our wonderful Gary Cadd. But right now, let's go to the lines. And, Ron, we're going to bring you on the air live. Good morning.
Morning, Ron.
Good morning, Linda and Carl and Gary. Two questions. Gary, I want your opinion, and also Carl and Linda, if you can throw in your two bits on it. Number one, why was there a closed-door session prior to the meeting on the subject of the church? That's number one question. But the number two is, I'm having difficulty understanding the difference between leasing to a church, regardless of what church it is, and leasing to a business organization or to a concert series or something that would really not even be related to a venue of this type. What's the difference there? It's to me, it's a business transaction. And what's the reasoning behind the council? And what's going on there? Any thoughts on this? I'll listen to you on air.
Well, the council usually does negotiations, whether it's property, the lease on the convention center. They do that in closed session. They don't want to do it in open session. I think it probably would be a good idea to do both in open session at times, but they do it in closed, and they do it after the meeting when they get through with their open session, then they adjourn and go back into closed session. Then when that's done, they come back out into open session and say that whether there was some action taken or no action taken, and then they adjourn from that meeting. But I would like to know more of what's going on. It's just like with the union contracts that I'd like to get into here if we get it a second. That's all done in private. By the time it comes out in the public and we get to hear about it, it's a done deal. They've already made up their minds of what they're going to do. So we need to be able to go forward when these items come up on an agenda and speak to that item. Even though it's in closed session, we need to be able to stand up and put our ideas and our wants and our desires as a community and tell the council what it is we want.
You know, one of the things, too, I think, is that, you know, we've got to look at closed, they have closed, you know, like you said, closed meetings for a reason. But they can't do anything. I think the final resolution always has to be out in the open.
That's right.
And I can understand that, Ron. You know, the bottom line is that we have to see what their final resolution is before we, you know, before we could agree with it. Unfortunately, is once it comes out and if we're not watching it, they'll brief it, they'll vote on it, and then we get things happening to us.
Yeah,
that's
then,
why we really have to watch what's going on in the closed meetings, because that's what happened to us with Tank last time.
Right. So it is very important, just because you look at a city council agenda and you notice down at number 12 is closed session, and you look at an item there and you go, well, wait a minute, I need to about this item. What's going on? That's going to be in closed session, but we still have the right during an open session of a city council meeting to fill out a blue card, put down 12A or 12B or whatever you want to put on there, whatever 12 and the letter is, and get up there and tell the council what it is that you're wanting, whether it's your views, a group of people's views, whichever.
Yeah. Hey, Ron, we've got to run here. We only got a couple minutes here, and Gary needs to make this one last point. Thank you for calling.
The point I'd like to make is in Friday's record searchlight, there's it talks about Reading home values dropped 10%.
Last Friday.
This is last Friday. All right. There's also right below that article is crime is on the rise. We need to get the fire station open. We need to put more police back on the street. The way to do that with the city general fund budget we have at the moment is we're going to have to make cuts. If we're going to be making cuts, we most certainly should not be giving raises with the union contracts. And so far this year, we've had three contracts, actually more than that, but there's three different instances where they've worked on contracts, and they've given raises. So we, the people, need to tell the council what it is that we want. If we want more police and fire, we need to stand up and start talking about it.
Okay. Hey, Gary, thank you so much. As usual, you come in here after the city council, and we've got a lot to say, and we've got a lot to get out. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Our guest after the break will be Phil Smith, KIXA.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media, and Carl and Linda Bott. 8:05, March the 2nd, and good morning. This is our second hour. First hour, of course, had Gary Kadner talking to the city council. We were talking all types of other issues.
Never enough time.
A lot of people. Yeah, there's never enough time. There's a lot of people on the line, a lot of people chatting with us here. Weather today.
Well, yes, I want to talk about the wind advisory that increasing to 20 to 30 miles per hour this morning with gusts up to 45 for the winds, and that is going to go through a midday. That includes Stockton, Modesto, Chico, Sacramento, Redding, Lakeport, and Paradise. So if you're driving, please do be careful. And, of course, this impacts local power outages and difficult driving conditions, so please be careful. It's currently 47 degrees. It is raining, and tonight we are going to have a low of 51 degrees. There you go, you guys.
That's it. And
weather outside is frightful.
It is. You know, we knew that this morning with Weather Dog, and I brought the Weather Dog in, who was soaking wet, and I threw him into the bed with Linda, who then questioned. Questioned me, my sanity, the fact that finally who my mother was.
Had a paw in my eye, and it was fabulous.
Okay, hey. We have the general manager of KIXE with us today, Phil Smith. And Phil,
keeping it real, keeping it real.
And we've got bringing him in to talk about, because there's going to be a big fundraiser starting Friday.
There's a big fundraiser starting Friday, and while that's important, at the same time, you know, for those who read the paper, I'm sure they saw that large article that was in the paper this week. It wasn't really an article. It was more of a frothing commentary from someone. And I'd be glad to talk about the fundraiser, the exciting programming, the exciting future of where the station's heading. I'd be happy to answer questions about that. It's whatever you all want.
Okay.
Why don't we start with the article?
Okay. The article.
Oh, boy.
There's an article in the paper that I saw, and it was, I think it was a letter to the editor.
Sunday.
That in Sunday's paper. That talked about KIXE was in trouble.
I heard it was a bash.
It was a bash, and that they needed local programming. They needed somebody from Sacramento to take over, et cetera, et cetera. And it caused a bunch of threats to be written after that. And the question is the viability of KIXE.
The viability. Well, the viability of KIXE is good to great at this point, because I feel very confident that, for one, while every nonprofit in the North State probably wishes they had even more successful fundraising, in terms of financial, we're stable. Things are looking up, especially with these initiatives to do local programming. Being quite honest, there's a lot of excitement at the station. We have a very small staff, but a very dedicated staff, and we're working on getting a whole lot more community involvement, because we realize the future for us is not only local, but it's also accessible. So we're looking for partners, independent producers, and we've got a few tricks of our own in terms of local programming coming up.
You know, having conversations with people, you know, they're talking, in the article the other day when they talked about the funding being cut off, and something you said about the stovepiping of other channels. There's, like, now, it used to be only four channels. That was it.
Yeah, a lot of things have changed in public broadcasting. I'll tell you one thing that's interesting, though, is with the transition from analog to digital television, which did affect our signal in some ways, one of the comments I read the other day, which was completely untrue, is that our membership is still going down. That's not true. Actually, while membership's not what it was 10 years ago, at the same time, we're making the changes to bring that membership back. It is up this year, and I want to thank the folks out there who have become members, who are kind of early seed planters, as they recognize we're returning the station to its roots. I also wanted to take a minute to thank the underwriting community in Reading, because underwriting is also up this year, and that is really, really important for us to have that support of the business community. Now, we're always looking for additional support, because we've got big dreams, some of which are going to require some new equipment to enter the digital age properly, as well as some field cameras and some things so we can start to put more local programs on. But, and a lot of times people don't take a moment to thank folks, and I wanted to thank those underwriters for making this a better year.
Well, our guest is Phil Smith this morning, and we have some great questions that have been flying around in the chat room, as well as we've talked about in several conversations recently. We'd like to get your way in on that. 47 degrees here. You're listening to KCNR 1460. We'll be right back after these messages.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. Phone lines here are 530-605-4567, and we are chatting. And we're streaming at KCNR 1460, 8:13 in the morning, March the 2nd. This portion of the show brought to you by Lumberjacks. Lumberjacks has available Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. There's soup and salad combos for $6.99. It's a pick-and-pair lunch. You can have soup and sandwich or salad and sandwich combos. The most expensive is under $8. Great food, great prices, and the service is always so good at Lumberjacks. It's a locally owned restaurant with great service, like I said, and great food. So, our guest, Phil Smith, KIXE.
Good morning, and welcome back to the program. We have a lot of things going on in the chat room, and let's go back. A certain question that's been asked several times is the article that came out Sunday in the paper sounded like it was personal. Why?
It would not be professionally proper for me to talk about business arrangements as proposed business arrangements, so forth. Let me just leave it at that sometimes people's anger and hostility isn't quite based on what it seems to be.
Okay.
So, and I'll leave it at that, because I want to stay positive about where the station's going.
Absolutely.
And how it's going to be great for the community.
Right. These are questions that are asked, and
yeah.
I know that you
said. And it was. It said it seemed personal. And, yeah. why would that be? So you're saying is that there was something in the past?
I would just like to stay with, let's keep it on the level of what's great about the community and where we're heading.
Let's move on.
Okay.
Yes. Okay, so then here's a question that also is about what's happening with KIXE, and why should we continue as a city to support a PBS?
Why should you continue to support PBS? Because PBS is not just the only thing that we're associated with. More importantly, and I'm sorry, folks, if you've heard this before, but I'm passionate about it, and I've got to say it again. I'm a local broadcaster. I've had opportunities to work at the network level, and I chose not to because in my heart I'm a small-town guy from a town of about 10,000 people in Ohio, and I love small towns. And although Reading's a lot bigger than my small town was, Reading still has that community feel to it, and that's what my family and I were seeking out. And so, yes, we are the local channel for PBS, But more importantly than that, we're the local channel for this area, because that's what local broadcasters do. And while, you know, we'd like to continue to air the great programming on PBS, and we'll continue to do so, at the same time, our excitement is getting back to the roots of the station, which, you know, in 1964, PBS didn't even exist at that point, and neither did the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. You know, KIXE came on the air as a local educational station that had local programming and also had some programming from other educational institutions. And so I think part of a major part of our future is going to be a return to what was great about our past, when television stations were not streams about a specific subject that came out of New York City, but Los Angeles, or quite frankly Sacramento, but also come from the local areas, and they're produced and about local people and culture and arts.
And that's the secret for bringing that audience back.
Well, that was, I believe so, and I think that was one of the things that mystified me in that article. Was while I was very pleased that the commentator seemed to agree with what KIXE's plan has been. We've talked about it for 6 months, which is to do more local programming. I'm not quite sure how that was dovetailed with the comment that KIXE would be better to be managed by a Sacramento television station. Now, folks, you know, I've had my fill of what happens with television stations when they're remote controlled from the big city. I can guarantee you that you're not going to be seeing local events in Redding. You're going to be seeing local events in Sacramento. And so I'm not quite sure how the author of that article was able to mix the two, but I'm planning, you know, our future, I believe, is in local programming here, which means we need to be locally controlled here by the folks in the North State.
All right, so here's a question as well, because, of course, we want to honor questions that are coming through the chat room about KIXE and the fundraiser, where the funds are going to go for this weekend's fundraising. And also, we realize we've heard in the past that you're in need of a mobile truck. If somebody were to raise funds for a mobile truck for KIXE, what would the ballpark be?
I'm very, very good at making equipment work. You know, I actually, in my one of my former stations, I was called the MacGyver of television, because I could always figure out how to take something that was much less expensive.
We get and, that, Bob's like that.
And turn it into something that made it look like we were doing big-time television. So the cost of a remote truck's all over the place. I mean, it can be as little as $50,000 or $60,000. It can be as high as $500,000. We would probably be looking in the range of about $150,000 to do it correctly.
Okay, somebody said if someone funded a mobile truck, could they have their business name on the truck?
Yes.
There you go.
We would figure that out. There's nothing that prevents me from having property of the station that advertises local businesses, and we'd love to do that. I mean, we're quite happy with the business support we've gotten and hope that we'll see more of that.
And what does it take to get local programming on KIXE?
It takes a couple of things. I mean, our... We try to maintain a good standard of quality on the station. We are not interested in censoring content. Previous incidents I've had with folks, you know, who were questioning whether or not we were interested in censoring content, clearly we're not, and we've proven that.
Well, except for you know, pornography.
Well, except
you know.
For pornography,
yeah.
And I will admit, I've discussed that with other people. I'm a bit of a prude, and I've got a family, and so I do have standards. But in terms of censorship, that's not really an issue. We're interested in everything from arts and politics of all views. The two criteria for having a program on our air would be that it meets quality standards of television. We can't produce things with VHS cameras, for instance, because we're high definition and we do want things to look decent. And the other one is just to make sure it doesn't step over the line for community standards for content, but that's a pretty broad brush because
right.
We want to be open to everybody.
Okay, we have to take a quick break. We've got the phone lines filled up. We've got 1,000 questions here and some good ones about relevancy to the community. We've got to take a break. Carl and the Bot. Welcome back. 1,000 questions. People in our 1460. We have just got 1,000 questions. People on the line. Let's ask this next question. What local programming is there on KIXE, and what is the relevancy?
Okay, right now, obviously people have heard me talk about the parade, and that was kind of our start. And I will say the commentator made a comment that it was hardly a start. I disagree. That was a lot of fun, and we thank our friends over at Channel 7, Cheetah and Mike and Huell Hauser came up and did the parade for us. We thought it was a great start, but it's not enough. You're absolutely right, and so... Real quick, I'll just tell you that we're premiering a new show called Unjunked that starts next month. It's about recycling and making art out of recycling. We're working on a choir special. I'm hoping it's going to come together to feature North State choirs during the April holiday season. We're working with a couple of local radio stations to talk about doing a morning show that we can have a local presence every morning. We're scheduled to televise the rodeo parade in May. We're working on a special program of the upcoming wine and art auction. We're still looking for independent producers. And, folks, I've been here 7 months, so we're moving as fast as we can. You know, if you were to look today, just hang on and look tomorrow, because there's a lot more coming, and we're hoping that you're going to be involved in it as well.
Great.
And the loss to the community is going to be, you're going to miss out on the best part, because we're almost there, folks. We're almost there.
All right. Okay, let's go to the phones. John, good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning, folks. And I've already said hello to all of you, so I'm going to get right to Phil here.
Good.
And, Phil, I want to say that your 7 months has shown that you are becoming one of the prime assets of KIXE, and thanks for being here.
Thank you for the encouragement. I really appreciate it.
I didn't take that bashing opinion piece as necessarily bashing. What I saw it was is more a call to awareness. KIXE is a viable community asset and needs to be protected. Personally, I'd like to see the City of Reading reassign the PEG contract and funding to KIXE. It currently is going to RCAC.
Mm-hmm.
Your experience with it and your desire to be involved with the city and the community is there. I hope the city will look at this as a win-win clearing up of a problem on the one hand, that problem they're having with RCAC's administration, and a way to help KIXE to stay viable with the additions of funding through the PEG contract and the equipment that they have available. I think you guys are better suited to serve the community with public access and with community access to all of the potential values that a PEG station could have. And somewhere or another, if a firewall was set up between PBS and PEG, and it could be done, you guys could serve the community in both ways. And by the way,
I appreciate that.
Other show that you have that is really great is No Veterans Left Behind, and that's produced locally.
Well, thank you very much. That's an early program we have out of the gate, and like I said, there's lots more coming. We're going to serve the city as well as the citizens in whatever capacity they see fit, and we love television production.
Okay, John, thanks. We got other people on the line. Sharon, you're back. Hello, Sharon.
Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, hold on, let me get.
We've only got 3 minutes. We got three minutes left.
Got to be fast.
Okay. Hi, Phil.
Good morning.
I was curious if someone from the community wanted to get involved in the world of television and they wanted to start out at KIXE as a volunteer. What would volunteers do there? And as a volunteer, can you slowly move up and get some sort of training on the equipment as the time goes by? And then, what kind of cooperation can a prospective producer receive from KIXE, such as can they use the cameras, will they have studio access, and will they get any direction from you?
Yes,
I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you so much.
Being able to use the equipment at this point is going to be in-house, although we do have a couple of trained volunteers that we are about to purchase two cameras through a very generous grant that came through the local foundation here that supports programming through the McConnell Foundation and Kathy Anderson, which we really appreciate their support. And yes, that's another program we're building because we're obviously going to be based on volunteership. I can tell you that I have personally trained folks because I've got a 24-year background in television production, and it's kind of fun. And we have a small staff, again, but I am happy personally to train folks. We'll be very supportive of independent producers. And if you want to know how to get started, you pick up the phone and call me personally. You can call the station number, and you can email me at psmith@kixe.org, and I'll answer any question you have, and I will get you started.
Okay, tell us. We've only got 2 minutes left. Tell us about...
2 minutes.
Tell us about the what's coming up this weekend.
The pledge drive starts this weekend.
That's
folks,
right.
This is a really critical pledge drive for us, and we're working on trying to make the drives more interesting and less intrusive. There's some great programming. We've got a Billy Joel concert that's coming up on Tuesday the 8th. We've got a variety of mixture. We've got Celtic Thunder. We've got Harry Connick Jr., the best of Laugh-In. We've got the premiere of our new local show, Unjunked, National Geographic's Top 10 Photos. I could go on and on and on. There's some great stuff. You just got to tune into your local program schedules and see what's coming up. And please, please call. We really need your support.
Yeah, we need to build local.
We need to build local.
Okay. Thanks again, Phil, for being here. There was... sometimes missives from people have several reasons they're written. But you can't negate some of the things that are being said in it just because they may have come from something, you know, from another place.
Yeah, that article did not make me angry because when I read it, I'm looking for the input from the community. I disagreed with some of the things that were written in it, and the tone was a little bit harsh, but at the same time, I'll take it as it comes because, you know, this station isn't going to be truly a part of the local community unless we listen to the community and include those ideas and make this work for everybody.
Yeah, as long as they don't have a dog in the fight. Okay, all right. Coming back, we're going to be talking solar energy. We're going to be talking to Dennis Patterson and he's going to be telling you the best things about solar energy. And you know, with the cost of electricity going up every year, if not sooner.
West Coast Sustainable.
There you go. We want to. He's got the answer for a lot of this stuff. And Bob is going, giving us that little stretchy mark
there.
Hey,
what Phil,
is that
thanks
stretchy
for,
mark? There?
I really appreciate, and I think Carl and I both want to say thank you for standing up and walking through the fire. You've been here for 7 months, and like I said, you are
you're
stretching and pulling and walking and doing all this, moving into a new community with your family. You have all this backlash, wash, whatever you want to call it, coming at you.
I want to leave you with this thought, which is it's okay to complain, but make suggestions and get involved.
There you go. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio. We're going to have the news starting right now, and back with Dennis Patterson.
Good, I'm telling you what, we are hopping, and so is the so is the chat room. We're just moving in and moving up. Currently 47 degrees today. It's raining, of course. We're going to have a high today of 56, and showers tonight with a low of 41. Our guest in this half hour is Dennis Patterson with West Coast Sustainables. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. How are you?
We are great. We're on fire. We're ready to hit the day. Love information. Love to find out what's going on with the pros. And you are right at the core of what's going on with solar. Mm-hmm. And what we were talking about before we hit the air was what's going on with the energy right now in our country. Well, why don't you just hit it?
Well, as you know, if you listen to the news at all, the cost of energy is going to go through the roof shortly. It's already raising up. You've had Paul Hauser on the program in the past, and he said there's, 15%, 7.5% increases coming up, and after that it's going to go higher than that. That's just this utility. Every utility is going to be up against the same issues. The State of California Greenhouse Gas Initiative, AB 32, is allowing CARB, California Air Resource Board, to cause all kinds of grief on electric generation, taxes mostly, cap and trade kind of things. So every utility is going to increase their prices. That's going to be a challenge for each of us, particularly those on a fixed income.
Okay, Dennis. So what the listener who's driving on the, you know, going to drive their kids on the way to school, this is scary because people, sometimes we can only do what we can do within our budget. And then all of a sudden, if our utilities go up 7%, we get this bill, and it's, say, a couple hundred dollars more. The fear factor of how can we do this? I mean, okay, so let's talk about solar. I mean, what is a way, and how do we do, where do we start if it's out of our control?
Well, trying to offset that somehow is the way to do it, either with wind or with solar, being the most popular at the moment because wind is not allowed in every jurisdiction. You know, they're noisy, they're not necessarily pretty to a lot of folks. Solar is easy to install, is absolutely no maintenance, no moving parts or anything. So in the past, 5 years ago, we were installing gobs of solar because the construction industry was going wide open throttle. And since then, in the last 4 or 5 years, the cost of solar has dropped 50%. We're selling it for half what we were back then, mainly because there was such a demand and so many states in the U.S. were implementing rebate programs to install solar power that the demand went through the roof. There were not enough manufacturing facilities to adjust for that. So the price went up. Now they built all these factories and the construction industry went in the tank and they've got all these panels around with nowhere to go. So the price for panels themselves has dropped dramatically. So it becomes much more affordable. You see, the city of Reading has dropped their rebate program because the city took all the money from their REU bucket and put it in their bucket. And PG&E CSI program has dropped almost zero rebate. But the cost of solar has dropped so much, and the federal tax rebates have gone up so much, that it's more affordable now than it was before.
And that, I know that was a question when I saw that them taking the taking the money from, because all of us pay into the solar. I mean, if you get a bill from REU, I think it's 1% of that bill goes into, I think that's what Paul said, is going into the solar fund to help pay to offset people when they got solar. So now all that money is going back to the city, which is they already have, their funding is a Byzantine, maze of numbers anyway. But so I was wondering how that would affect. But it seems like it's offset then by the drop in the cost of the solar paneling and the equipment and in the feds pumping it up.
Absolutely. And if you look at the reason that not a lot of solar power has been installed in the city of Reading is because the cost of electricity in Reading is really cheap compared to all the other utilities, which is great for all the ratepayers in town. Well, with that increase escalating, or it's going to escalate, then solar starts to look better and better. It may not have a great return now, maybe 10 or 11 years before it pays for itself. Well, in another 2 or 3 years, all of a sudden it's down to 8 years, where in PG&E land it's about a 4.5-year payback.
Mm-hmm.
Really makes it advantageous. As the costs go up, it pays for itself much quicker.
As the cost of electricity go up, yes. What about panel replacement? There's some questions are coming through here. How long do panels last?
That's a good question. We don't know for sure. We've got them out there that are 35, 38 years old, and they're performing at about 75% of what they initially started.
Mm-hmm.
The state of California, if you install any solar, you have to put a 25-year warranty on those panels that they're going to produce a minimum of 85% of what they started with. And that's not just the installer, but the manufacturer has to back that up.
So if it comes in, so they've had it for 10 years, and it's all down. It's down to 50%, or it blows under that. Or falls under that 85%.
Right.
They have to be replaced.
Now, yes.
Is that right? Not at the cost of the homeowner, though.
Typically, after 12 years, there starts to be a limited warranty issue. In the
right.
first 12 years, it's a free replacement. After that, it's a
okay.
Depends on how.
Well, yeah, it's
long
kind of like okay, you've had it this long, and it's, so it's. I guess it would be a tires and things like
so
that.
So, would you say that there's a lot of panels in the boneyards?
No.
Okay, so are there panels that are ready to be installed right now in
yes.
Reading?
Yes.
What happens when those are hanging around for a while? Do they lose their efficiency if they've been waiting to be installed 4 or 5 years ago? And you know what I'm talking about.
No, not at all. They're manufacturing what's needed. So you always get fresh product,
okay.
so to speak.
Okay.
It may be on the shelf for a couple of months. But if they're not out in the weather, they're not out in the sun, they're not going to degrade.
Okay, got it.
Okay,
we're going to take a break.
Yeah,
we're
just running right past this. I'm getting all excited.
Dennis Patterson with West Coast Sustainables. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460 Carlin, about 8:43 in the morning, March the 2nd on a rainy day, and this portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop off Athens Avenue. DC Tim and the Man in Black give great haircuts, they give discounts to veterans, and I gotta love that. They have no hair gel, they have just haircuts. Man's Last Stronghold, at Cypress Square Barbershop, right off of Athens Avenue. Our guest, Dennis Patterson. West Coast Sustainables. We're talking solar here, and the amount of money you can save in this. The fact is, if every new home was said you've got to have 50% of your power comes from solar, you throw it into the cost of the house, and you get some kind of rebate from the feds, it would be a huge thing for here.
Certainly, it would. It'd help eliminate a lot of things. One is, of course, your personal PG&E bill. But when we start looking at the infrastructure of electricity throughout the state, these high-tension power lines coming across, they're talking about building this huge wind farm up at Hatchet Mountain.
Yeah.
They've begun that already.
Right.
Well, what they want to do is run 700 miles of high-tension lines across everybody's property to get down to where it's needed.
Tank 2.
Yeah. So why do they tear apart Tracy, Altamont Pass, tear down all the windmills where they've got the infrastructure, put the windmills out in the North State, wander the power lines all through us, when they could put a little solar on every home in the Bay Area and eliminate that whole need for all that infrastructure?
Well, see, it makes sense to me. And the thing about it is even solar, though, I mean, you've got a set of batteries. I think.
No.
Oh, you don't have, there's no batteries with solar?
No.
To maintain? Okay, you need to explain.
Let's talk about that, because that's one of the biggest problems or issues I have when I go to talk to a client that's interested in solar power.
We need a visual.
Yeah.
Where's the TV camera?
No, we need a visual. You need to paint that picture for us.
Okay. When we talk about a utility-connected solar system where you already have REU or PG&E, we put solar panels on, goes into an inverter, ties into the power panel. That's it. There is no maintenance. There's nothing. Maybe hose the panels off once a year or something. But there are no batteries. And you do not have power when the neighborhood is out of power. If somebody hits a power pole and it goes down, the solar system shuts off, because we don't want to electrocute some poor guy out there from REU testing the system, find out what's wrong with it, troubleshooting it. So it does not provide power when the power is off. It only provides power to you or to the utility, depending on your demand, when the sun is up. If you're gone for the weekend and it's a nice, bright, sunny day, it produces power. It goes back to the utility, and your meter runs backwards, and you start gaining credits. When the sun goes down, you start using those credits before you begin buying power again. So the size of the system is predicated on how much you want to spend for a system and what your monthly utility bills are. It has nothing to do with the size of the home you have. It's strictly your usage. Now, if you've got a cabin out in the middle of nowhere and you have no utility, then you have that battery backup system you mentioned earlier, Carl, where the solar panels charge the batteries. The battery's power is taken into an inverter and handles the home itself,
right?
Whether it be a small home or a large one.
Like you would have on your boat.
Yes, exactly. Same idea. And we do those as well. And then you have what they call a hybrid system, which is coming on strong right now, where you're at a utility customer, but you're concerned that the utility is going to be out of power. Either you're kind of at the end of the line and you get a lot of outages during the wintertime, or you think that there's going to be issues with the world we live in, and you think it's going to go down. Then we have a battery backup system with a utility-connected system.
Okay.
Hybrid works well. If the utility goes down for some reason, the batteries take over instantly. You can't even tell that it happened. Lights don't flicker. Computer screen doesn't flicker. And if you're on battery backup, when the utility comes back on, it switches over, charges the batteries, and you're on your road.
Well, that's kind of what I would think would be a good solution, is that it, just in case something happened, you'd have those batteries back up.
We're in scary times right now. I mean, everything you look at with the Middle East and the threats of what is going on, there is a trickle-down effect, and how does that affect us in Reading? What's happening with our gas prices? We started our show off with that this morning. And so this makes perfect sense. The timing is really impeccable to have you on right now with an alternative, and knowledge is power.
Right. And we're seeing an increased demand about battery backup systems that support the whole house, not just your UPS for your computer, but things that we would install. And we do it with maintenance-free batteries, so even your maintenance on that kind of system is close to zero. You just have to watch it all the time, anything.
Yeah. Well, that's good. You know, the idea of solar it's been around for so long, and now it seems like it's becoming more and more and more viable. Every time we have a meeting we can't use certain kinds of energy, and now we have to be so much of it's got to be green energy by a certain time, which is going to just blow the price straight through the roof. Everybody knows anything about it will admit that. I mean, it's not the fact that, to save our planet, so we're going to blow, so people are going to spend half their income on electricity. I think there's got to be other ways to do it. I think, if we're going to force people into using, having that kind of green power and then watching the prices on your energy double and then double again, you've got to have a way of offsetting it. You've got to, that you can control.
And solar is certainly the easiest one to do, considering the maintenance, and it's no impact to your neighbors or anybody else. You know, the other thing we look at for rural communities is, I'm on a well and septic system at my house, and I put in a solar-powered well. It's not connected to any PG&E or anything. Mm-hmm. The solar panels run the well pump, and we put out 3,000 gallons a day out of that, and that waters all my cattle and horses. So it took about a $200 a month part of my PG&E bill and threw it to the curb.
Okay.
So it's not just powering your home. And then if you look at people getting concerned about how do we stay in communication if the grid goes down, but I don't want to spend $15,000, $20,000, $30,000 for a complete solar system. Then a small solar panel, a miniature inverter, a battery, you can hook up your TV or your computer system on a couple of lights and stay in tune with everything when the rest of the world has gone to heck.
Before we take a break here, just say your largest energy user, whatever it is, I don't know, let's just say it's the refrigerator. I doubt it, but let's just say it is. Could you hook up a specific solar panel for that?
No.
Okay.
No.
Can't do that.
No. You tie, no matter what kind of solar you have, if you've got a utility, you tie into your main panel. It doesn't matter. The electricity has no idea where it's going to. It's just offsetting what you're buying.
So you couldn't have anything that, like, it goes from an inverter to these things?
You could if you had batteries in between.
You have to have the batteries in there.
Right, okay. Because otherwise that solar panel is putting out a certain amount of power in the middle of the day, but in the evening it's putting out less. You can't do that. It has to charge the battery, and then you take the power out of the battery.
All right.
So same as you do with the boat you talked about.
Okay, you can do it, but it takes another part. Okay.
So it's kind of like a reservoir of energy.
Yes.
And okay, we got it. All right, so we're going to take a break. We're talking to Dennis Patterson from West Coast Sustainables. Chat room is open, guys, so where's the line? 605-4567. We'll be right back. This is KCNR.
I won't. No, I won't down. No, I won't.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Calling in the body, 8:55 in the morning, and it is March the 2nd. It's raining out there, according to the weather dog. This portion of the show is brought to you by the Backbone Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Great place to walk into in the humidor and Espresso Joe's for that coffee on a day like today. I may have just stopped by there and get a cup. Joe and Shelley support this community. They support veterans. They've been in business for over 35 years. They're a great couple, and the people that work for them are really, really super people.
Hey, we want to thank our chat champions of Free Fire Forum, you guys.
There you go. That's
I
right.
love that. That is like our new bumper sticker. The chat.
We've
the
got
chat champions.
You know,
Free
our
Fire
chat
Forum.
Room is an eclectic intellectual group.
You guys keep us warm. Hey, you keep us hopping too. Well, speaking of warm, pa-dum-pump, this is a great segue into Dennis Patterson in our last final segment here. West Coast Sustainables, we were talking about how you teach solar, the experts at the Building Exchange and builders about solar. Can you share that with our listeners?
Sure. I put on a 40-hour class at the Shasta Builders Exchange that is entry level to photovoltaics, but we teach people that want to enter the industry as professionals, other contractors, electricians, building officials, how to site assess. In other words, you go somewhere and see if people may want solar. You have to go over there and see if they're a candidate for it. Shading their issues, direction of the roof faces, if it's going to be roof mounted, these things, how much power do they need, what are their goals. We teach sizing the system correctly, how to wire it correctly, grounding issues, code issues, everything to do about solar photovoltaics, which is the electric part of solar, compared to thermal solar, which is hot water heating and steam heating, those kind of things, which we also do. So there's two sides to solar. When some people say, well, I want solar in my house, a lot of them are talking about hot water heating because they're tired of their gas bill or electric hot water bill. The other is the electric side of it, which is offsetting your REU bill or your PG&E.
Yes. I'm raising my hand here, you know, Professor Ori. You know, the hot water thing. I mean, again, it's you say offset your hot water because we have hot water heaters that are electric. So, I mean, how can we do that with solar? Just put in enough solar so it takes up 25% of your bill or something.
No. You go into heating hot water with the solar panel instead of making electricity with it. So you put a panel up there that warms the water in your water heater, so it doesn't work as hard.
Okay.
And that costs considerably less for a system to function there than it does for a photovoltaic system or electric-only system.
Okay.
So you can offset your power bill or your gas bill with a thermal system.
Okay. Dennis, you said at the break, which I think is really encouraging, that you will come to people's homes and consult for free.
Yes.
Can you share? Okay. Somebody's really interested to get this solar expert out to talk about, can that work in my house? And if so, how do we do this?
Sure. You give me a call or email dennis@westcoastsustainables.com, and we'll set an appointment to come out that's convenient for you, and we look and see if you're a candidate for solar. If you've got too much shading, it's not going to work. what's your bill look like? What are you trying to accomplish? Some do it because they want to be green. It's a green thing to do. Others just want to get rid of the PG&E bill. They don't care. An investment, we talk about how long it takes to pay for itself, how much your bill is going to be when it's done compared to what your electric bill is now, what it would look like, where it would go, why it works, how long it takes to install, and what it costs. So it's a complete package, and most of it takes about an hour, and most of it's informative. We try to tell them everything that happens about it. Most people have misconceptions about how it works. Backup power, oftentimes they think it's going to give them electricity when the power is down.
That's so great. What's an hour of your time to be able to have Dennis come out or somebody within your...
Me.
It's you. Okay, well, that's pretty cool. The guy who teaches the 40-hour class will come to your house and show you what to do. I know Carl and I are really interested in figuring out what we're going to do because we go up and down a couple hundred dollars from summer to winter with our bills. You know, it depends on July, of course. August and January, always the big expensive months. And I know we're not alone.
Right. And that up and down goes away because your PG&E bill goes to a yearly billing cycle to compensate. If you build a system where they would owe you 1 month and you owe them the next month, it goes to a year.
Okay. Hey, our guest has been Dennis Patterson.
Thank
from
you,
West
Dennis.
Coast Sustainables. Thank you so much, because there's a lot of good information that came out of, you know, I mean, about how we can knock back our energy bill.
West Coast right. Sustainable.
Now, tomorrow we're going to have some people in here talking about the Ninth Circuit Court. It's coming in Sunday. We're going to have the Order of the Purple Heart. And also, the principal of UPREP is going to be talking about charter schools, and I want to ask her about that movie, about the Superman movie, about the schools. I've just lost the name of it. Anyway.
Yeah. I know. I look at you, too. I know it says Superman somewhere in there. It's a documentary.
Wow. It's something about looking for Superman.
Looking for Superman.
And it's about our education system and how just screwed up it is. Carl and the Bot, just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
You've been listening to KCNR, Shasta, Redding.